Attention all citizens, it's time for Denizens of the Deep.
So, yeah, today's guest on Denizens of the Deep is Paul Ebana-Jones. We're going to speak to him shortly. We're going to have a listen to one of his songs from his debut album from 1989. Well, debut release in New Zealand anyway, and it's called Mountain Song.
I wanna drink from you. I said my moon's your moon, silver fountain. I live in the rooms away behind the sun. Of your sweet, sweet, sweet mountain. But I will always make friends. I've even got to talk to someone. I wanna drink from you. I said my moon's your moon, silver fountain. I live in the rooms, Lord, away behind the sun. Vibration coming way, way down from my legs to my head. I don't need no. I don't want no complication, no, please. Just give me love, give me love.
Paul Ebana-Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, where have we interrupted your drive?
Oh, that's okay, mate.
Whereabouts are you?
I'm just on my way back from Central Hawke's Bay, so I'm just past Bayview at the moment and going over the big saddle to get over to Rotorua and back to Tauranga and then up to Lee Sawmill.
So you played last night at, was it Cactus Jackson Waipawa, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
How'd it go?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty chilly there. It's a big shed, if you like, with a couple of wood burners. But it was a great audience. They were lovely. All in their overcoats and hats and gloves, you know.
Shaking and rattling their jewellery.
Nice. Right.
Hey, you're playing at Lee Sawmill tonight, so you're driving up all the way from Hawke's Bay to Lee to visit visit our northern whānau. Can you tell us a little bit about what to expect at the show? We've just been listening to your to a track from your very debut album, which is very dear to my heart because I.
Oh, nice to hear! Thank you.
Yeah, I my brother had this when I was a young teenager learning the guitar, so I just listened to it day in day out. Fabulous album. You've made about seven more since then. What do your shows look like nowadays?
Well, I guess the shows have grown in as much as the intensity of them, for one thing, and the material that I pull into my programs, which is varied every night. It ranges from original and into stuff that I've rearranged, and it's a wide spectrum. It's a wide spectrum of roots and my style of writing and guitar playing.
Can you tell us a little bit about your writing process? How do you write these days?
My writing process, that's very erratic.
The question or your process?
Both actually. It's an ongoing affair, obviously, and, when I come up with a new song, I try and feature it, I do feature it in a program and see if it's working or not, or if it needs tweaking. It's time to do another album, which will be my ninth album once I get that out.
When your last one was released in 2000 and something?
2007.
2007, yeah.
So, 10 years, man, of refining my playing since that last album. I'm ready for another one, so that's good.
And what's happening with the new material? Like, what does it sound like? What is it? Where have you gone with it?
I've gone through a more improv area, not all the time, but it's got great access for the doorway of improvisation, and that's good. That gives me a lot of freedom. So, songs about the human condition that have a kind of landscape where I can also play.
The human condition for you, Paul. I'm imagining what it might be like. You're driving from Hawke's Bay to Lee to play a gig completely on your own, right?
Yeah.
So, how is that? You know, how is it being? I had a friend describe to me, the condition of playing acoustic, the solo acoustic troubadour is the loneliest job on earth. Is that true?
It can be. I guess I travel with a lot of characters inside myself, and I have a lot of inner dialogue that goes on. I mean, that might sound crazy, but you're constantly in that state. I don't dwell on the loneliness so much, just the fact that it's driven by my passion. Hence, I've been doing it for quite a while now. And I think that I can see why people would say it's a very lonely existence, but, there's a reason why I choose to be a soloist. And all those things have connected. I've connected with them. The demand of delivering a show is very high. And I kind of like that. That's the way I work, a loner in that respect. But when I meet other musicians like djembe players and contra bassists, double bassists, then my material's got a lot of room for bringing on board other players, assuming that they're good and they have their chops together. So I don't feel I'm without. I've honed my skills to the level where it all kind of makes sense, why I'm doing this and these long journeys. It's all part of that process, and it certainly hasn't beaten me down. I mean, I've been doing it for 30 years since I've been in New Zealand, and another 14 prior to that in bands and as a soloist. So it's been a long journey, but somehow I thoroughly enjoy it, and somehow that passion is still there, and it turns people on, it wows them and all that stuff, and that's what I do. I thoroughly enjoy it, I really do. So when I get a new idea, then I can improv it and see if it's got some legs, if it can get up and walk, and then I can turn it possibly into a new instrumental or a song that goes into an instrumental part. So I have a lot of freedom. It's great. It's not 4x4 writing, two verses, chorus. It's gone beyond that, which is great.
You've got on your itinerary Switzerland. You've got Hockey Ticker next, and then Switzerland in September.
That's right. Yeah. How mad is that?
There's a little bit of contrast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I really do. The Swiss audiences, Hockey Ticket audiences, that's going to be in a cinema there. And then, as you say, yeah, fly to London, see family. France, see family. And then do a 10-day tour in Switzerland.
Wonderful.
This is how it's been going for years. And my audiences seem to be augmenting, you know, as the years go on. And faithful, like, kind of... believers in what I do, and that's gorgeous.
Hey, I'm curious whether you, I'll just put some context on this. About 15 years ago, I saw you perform at the APRA Silver Scrolls, and you performed a Golden Horse song called Maybe Tomorrow.
That's right, with a piano player called Tommy Ludvigsen.
Yeah, and I know the way you handle those lines in that song. I mean, it's a beautiful song, and the way you handled them, I really dug that. There's a line in the song about in a moment of time when the fruit becomes wine and the thought becomes a memory. You know, just remember
it's
the way
great,
you sung it.
That's
a great line. What's your intake at the moment of your output of when you're performing of sort of local material?
Local meaning New Zealand.
Stuff that comes from Aotearoa.
Yeah, good question. And I really haven't got my hands around that as of yet to any great degree. There's stuff that I like. And I certainly will give that a serious look in. I'll tell you what's really blown me away is the roots history of my father from Nigeria, coupled with... Two movies I saw recently, which is all in connection with the stuff that I've been reading over years, and Fences, featuring Denzel Washington, an excellent movie, and a documentary on James Baldwin called I'm Not Your Negro.
Mm-hmm.
And the storylines in that and what's being depicted is what's spurred me in my music, the civil rights movement. I learned songs like that in my earlier days. Bob Dylan's writing about, Medgar Evers being killed by, the KKK and the whole civil rights movement. And so I draw on this history, this essentially black history, although I'm also British as well by birth. And I kind of bring those pertinent tunes, rearrange them into my style of playing, and so I can own them to a degree, if you like, and bring them into my repertoire and give them a new lease of life with a different costume, if you like.
Nice.
So for me, that's equally as important as writing, an original song. And they kind of sit in really well with my tunes. I'm Counting on Love or Rest in My Arms, Bone and Sand. It kind of has a very pertinent quality to it in relation to the original material. So I see myself as being this kind of guy that is an interpreter of stuff that I like, the Golden Horse thing, although I haven't played that for years, and other stuff. And that gives a new lease of life to every performance I do. And that's glorious. I mean,
New Zealand's got its own tradition of protest music, probably that really grew around punk and reggae. We've got groups like Herbs and some of the punk bands, which don't spring readily to mind right at this moment. But it's great to hear material like that becoming resonant again.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And the important thing, like Leonard Bernstein said, he was a great arranger as well as composer and conductor. He said, you need to own something when you take on somebody else's material, be it Gustav Mahler or something out of West Side Story or whatever. And I really adhere to that. So I don't have a repertoire that's getting ever gets dry or starts to get boring or anything like that. I feel very much alive. I'm featuring some tunes which I did on some other albums earlier on, and I've rearranged them so that my original tunes have actually changed into something else as well. So I give them a new lease of life as well, as opposed to what they were on the recordings.
We're speaking to Paul Urbana-Jones, who's performing at the Lee Sawmill Cafe tonight. Hey, Paul, what time is your show? Because
The show starts. starts at 8 o'clock. I've got a very good friend who's from the States. I know her and her mother well for years, and she's now based in Auckland, and her name's Vanessa Pritchard. So she's going to do an opening set. She's the special guest of tonight, singer-songwriter, now based in Auckland, but it's been on the American music scene for quite a few years. So it's going to be a nice, diverse show, and, you know, the people that go there are going to be in for very good quality acoustic songwriting and music, both from Vanessa and myself. And, yeah, I like things like that.
Hey, Paul, thank you very much for stopping on your road trip to chat to us here at 95 BFM, and we'll catch you tonight up at Lee. We've got BFM's got a big event on tonight as well, B Street down in Auckland City. So I'll see if we can juggle both. That'll be great.
Okay, look, I really appreciate your time, and thanks for your support, mate.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye bye.
And you're listening to 7am Swim Radio Show. We finish in about 7 minutes. Alice is here for Saturday morning. I want to say thank you at this point to Aiden Assist, who talked to us about Materia Ture and Materia Ture. I'm still mucking up that last name. Materia. We talked about Materia. And we spoke to law-abiding citizen about people driving on berms and domestics and all kind of things. And it's been most lovely having you tune in. If you've got any suggestions for Paul Ubana-Jones for New Zealand material he might like to add into a set, I'll forward that on to him.
That was Denizens of the Deep.